You take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus 20. We're in a series on the Ten Commandments here at Georgetown, if you're joining us as our guest. And this morning we're looking at the third of the Ten Commandments. So we return again to Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. And then we spent a little bit of time last time unpacking verses 5 and 6. But then I want to drop down to the third commandment, which we're going to be reflecting on together this morning. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So what does that mean for us today? You know, what thoughts come to you if I put out some names like Martin Luther King? What thought comes to your mind? Or JFK? Or Kim Jong-un? Or Bill Gates? Or the Kardashians? What thoughts fill your minds? When you hear a familiar name, and there are associations that come, right? Associations that we make with certain names. I met someone at the committal service on Thursday afternoon, and she told me her name, and all of a sudden, I made immediate associations. That's how names work for us. You think about certain things, don't you, when you hear your name or you a name. You remember certain events or you experience certain emotions when you hear a name. Why? Because names tell us some things about individuals. In some cases, very positive things. In some cases, maybe not so positive, but rather negative. For instance, if I throw out the name of Osama bin Laden, then I'm sure that for most of us, we're taken to, the Twin Towers. And then we remember again all those deaths and the greatest act of horror on American soil since Pearl Harbor. You know, if I mention Mother Teresa, then you think of her selfless work and her humility in the streets of Calcutta, ministering to the homeless, ministering to the dying. Or if I say Donald Trump, what associations do you make? You know, what fills your mind or heart with that name? Or Justin Bieber, I mean, what comes to you maybe immediately or as you hear that name echoing in your ears? Or what about Billy Graham? There's another one. When you hear a name, you think about who that person is. You think about what he or she has done. You think about how he or she has lived or is living, right? Because a person's name brings to mind that person's reputation, that person's character, that person's values. What pops up on your mental screen when you hear the name God? See, number 3 on God's top 10 list is the command for us to be very careful with that name. Why? Because God is God. Why? Because God is, first of all, the holy, transcendent, almighty, creator of God. Amazingly, he is also the redeeming God, right? He's the one who has provided in an astonishing way for your and my salvation. and our ability to be a daughter and son of this transcendent, holy, almighty Creator God. Not only is He the Creator God, not only is He redeeming God, but He's the sustaining God, right? And we pick that up from earlier in our service this morning as we acknowledged our dependence on Him. How do we get through life without God walking with us in life? And yet this same Creator, redeeming and sustaining God, is also the ruler and the judge of the universe, to whom one day every knee will bow and every tongue is going to confess and everyone will have to give an account of his or her life. God is not our backslabbing buddy. He's not someone to be taken lightly. He's not to be thought of or spoken of in sort of an empty, insincere, cavalier manner. You know, this third commandment is like this big sign that you cannot miss. It says, warning, high voltage. Respect God's name. No one should be taken more seriously than God. The third commandment tells us that giving God proper respect begins with God's name and the way in which we use His name. Why? Because, you know, God's name represents and reflects who He is. It reflects His character. It reflects His reputation in much the same way that our names, when someone hears our name, okay, they automatically make a certain association. And by the way, that's why you find so many verses in Scripture. I just selected four very brief ones. Here's the first. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To Him belongs eternal praise. Psalm 111 from Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Or here we go, Psalm 23, a psalm that was read at the funeral on Thursday. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Or Acts chapter 2, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see why God doesn't want us to mess around with the name? Because that is the power to save. God's name represents who He is, which is why God wants us to be very careful in the way we use that name. So I want to spend whatever time we have this morning thinking about how we might misuse God's name. And perhaps the first is, I'll just start with the most obvious here, and that is through profanity. The word profanity comes from two different words. There is pro, which means out of, and then there is phanos, which means temple. So profanity is using God's name in a way that is outside of its spiritual home. In other words, translated into everyday contemporary language, in a way that's outside of its intended context. You know, we've all heard more than we'd like to profanity in our lives, right? The North American culture is one of the most foul-mouthed cultures in the world today, and it just seems, it just feels like it's giving even more so. We hear it on television. You can't hardly watch, well, you can, but there are not all that many movies today where there isn't some form of profanity. We hear it sometimes in the workplace, although in some workplaces it's a very serious, that's inappropriate and not to be tolerated. You hear it in the grocery store. You hear it basically wherever you over hear people talk. The last time Sandra and I flew, I don't know if this was, I forget, maybe Denver, maybe. So you land and you're sitting in the back of the plane. And if you're sitting in the back of the plane, then you know how this goes, right? You just wait forever to get out of that plane, right? So, yeah, right. And so, you know, everybody's dragging their luggage from up the bin and they're slowly moving their way out. But 10 to 12 rows up above, you know, the seatbelt light goes off and everybody springs up if they can, especially if you're sitting on an aisle seat. Me too, because we're tired of sitting. And 10 to 12 people in rows in front of us, there's this gentleman, except for I should not call him a gentleman. He was anything but a gentleman, but he stands and he starts dropping F-bombs here and there, and he's going on. It's clearly that he's irritated. And then between the F-bombs, there's goddams, and it, you know, this just went on and on for, it seemed like quite a while. And then there's this pint-sized woman, I don't know, Sandra, if you remember, this pint-sized woman who stands up from the seat in front of her. And she's short, and this guy is big. And she looks him right in the eyes and says, "No more. All of us have had enough with your obscenities." And I thought, wow, good for you. And his response was, "Well, I don't see any children here." And she said, "I don't care. That's just not appropriate language in public, certainly not in an airplane." How many times haven't you heard a person combine those two words, God and damn? We'll just let the F-bomb alone a minute. Or maybe just not touch it right in this message. Do you know literally what it means, God damn? I hope that God damns you to hell. Or I hope that God damns this to hell. Which is pretty horrific if you think about it. But see, that's the problem, is that most people don't think about it. They just utter it because they've uttered it so many other times. People frequently use or misuse God's name impulsively. It becomes kind of a convenient expression, even for amazement or surprise, like, "Oh my God! Oh my God, this. Oh my God, this." You know, well, it's reducing God to an exclamation point. God is being reduced to a three-letter word that starts with a W and ends with a W. Wow. Or people will use the name Jesus or Jesus Christ, and it's always done with a certain tone to it, right? To express their exasperation at something. And where I hear this most is in movies, but increasingly so in television. I hear it in conversations with real people. And it always makes me wonder, in this politically correct age in which we live, how come we can say, "Jesus"? Or we can even use the shortened version, "Geez." Okay? But you never hear anybody say, "Muhammad." How is that? Or any other religious leader. Why is it that the name of Jesus that we revere can be tossed about so, and nobody even hardly reacts anymore? Why is that? You know what profanity does? In addition to revealing our immaturity and our lack of self-control, profanity, well, when you hear a person
Using the name of God or Jesus as an expression of exclamation and anger and frustration, you immediately know something about that person's relationship with God. You immediately know that that person does not understand the majesty of God or the holiness of God or the wonder of God. You know immediately that they have little understanding or appreciation for Jesus and for who He is and what He has done for us. And, you know, repeatedly in Scripture, what comes out of mouths is a reflection of the heart, we're told. In fact, Jesus Himself put it this way, as direct as He possibly could. He said, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. Like it or not, the way that a person speaks is a pretty accurate barometer of that person's heart. We misuse God's name through profanity, but then I want to suggest, really, we misuse God's name any time that our language and our speech doesn't bring honor to God's name. Any time that we use crude and offensive language and off-color jokes and obscenities and hate-filled language, a lot of slang that people use today is nothing more than watered down, really crude and offensive language. A lot of it. And it's being used, I think, without people even realizing the etymology, in other words, the origin of that slang. But they hear it, and so they say it. Paul, speaking about the kind of life of those who follow Jesus Christ, here's what Paul says, nor there should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking which are out of place for a follower of Jesus Christ. That's my addition. Okay, so we can misuse the name of God also when, you know, we use His name carelessly, sometimes flippantly, as in, for Christ's sake. Again, I don't think we know what we're saying. Or when we tell jokes that ridicule God. Those of you who are older will recognize the word sputtin, right? What's the word sputtin? Well, the word sputtin simply means talking about God in a very irreverent manner. Now, please don't misunderstand me, because I enjoy wonderful good humor, and it's good to poke fun of ourselves. I enjoy good humor about our Christian idiosyncrasies and about church culture. But you see, I think we cross a line when we start joking about God. I think that's an entirely different matter. We need to be very careful about the way in which we speak about God in a way in which our joking about Him detracts from His holiness and His majesty and His power and the sense of awe and reverence which is His due. And then I think we can misuse God's name in a different way. We misuse His name without our thinking. Ever sing in church, but your mind is a mile away, or joined in a prayer, most often a prayer of confession, without a lot of thought or just kind of half-hearted? Ever find yourself going through the motions in worship? God says through the prophet Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that takes me to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus was talking about how to pray. And He said, look, just don't babble when you pray. Just don't keep babbling on like the pagans. Do we ever do that? You know, ever use habitual prayer and you're not really thinking about what you're saying? Your mind is really in a different place, but you find yourself uttering the same phrases that you always, and this happens to me, I suppose, mostly when I'm having these hurry up let's pray before I eat prayers. And I fall into my habitual prayer, right? And my prayer becomes full of cliches. Vain repetition, says Jesus, in which you really don't think about what you're praying, is misusing God's name. We misuse God's name when we use his name for our own ambition and for our own gain. So, you know, you turn on some of these religious programs on cable, and it's sometimes offensive. The way that a preacher can call on God's name and use God's name in order to encourage or guilt his listeners or offer false promises, health and wealth gospel, to contribute money to the ministry. Never mind that the ministry is really his bank account and sometimes her bank account. Politicians sometimes mention God's name in all the right places, at all the right cities, at all the right rallies, at all the right time, because that politician wants votes, because that politician wants a constituency. That politician wants to maintain the constituency. Jesus taught that we misuse God's name when we say, I swear to God, it's true. You got to believe me. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, no. Just say, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be truthful. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't need to inject God's name here. And here's one last way that I want to suggest this morning before I wrap things up, and that is we misuse God's name when we pretend. When we use his name as if we were in relationship with him, but our lives don't reflect it, when we use God's name, but we knowingly live in a different way. And I would say knowingly is the operative word here. A soldier who fought for Alexander the Great, part of his army, apparently hadn't fleshed out the character and the courage and the commitment that Alexander the Great had expected of his soldiers. He was poorly dressed, he was slouching, sloven even, and he was just totally out of sync of what was expected in Alexander's legendary army. And somehow Alexander came upon this man, and he had this man brought before him, and he said, tell me your name. And this man sort of mumbled, said, my name is the same as your name. Then Alexander said, as he looked at him with both eyes, I will give you a choice. Change your name or change your ways. And Jesus felt the same way about people who claimed his name without supporting it by the way they lived. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And I think that the message is unmistakable if we say that we know Christ, if we say that we are Christians. Now think about it. What does the word Christian mean? Well, it came out of originally the phrase Christ follower, those who follow Christ. If we say we know Christ, if we refer to ourselves as followers of Christ, then Jesus is saying, live that way. Because if you don't live that way, you are bringing dishonor to my name. So when we misuse God's name through our language or our attempts for, you know, our own ambitions and gain or in our pretending, we're trivializing God. We don't take him seriously. You know, we don't make him significant. We make him insignificant. We make him meaningless. We make him marginal. We put him down to our level. We deny his holiness, his majesty, his centrality in our lives, his authority. But the Bible says that his is the name to whom every knee will bow and every knee will one day confess. His is the name that carries with it power when it is spoken. And when we confess our need for God and our sense of dependence on him, and when we cry out to him, we conclude our prayers in his name. His is the name that brings our salvation. His is the name that brings us life. So treat God's name and the name of Jesus with the respect it deserves. Revere it. Cherish it. Honor it. Three quick challenges and then I'm done. First of all, treat God's name with reverence and respect. Use it carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it tenderly. Use it worshipfully. Think about what you're saying when you use his name. Psalm 29 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." Make a conscious effort not to dishonor his name, but focus instead on honoring his name. I'm bringing glory to his name. Second, protect God's name. And that's not hard for us to understand, right? So if someone speaks ill of our wives, we don't just listen. We don't just, and if they speak derogatorily of our wives, we don't just keep silent, right? We don't just say, "Oh, okay." No, we do something about this, right? If someone does the same thing with the name of our mother, we cannot and will not and do not keep silent. We rise to their defense. And I just will never forget that little pint-sized woman who stood up to this foul-mouthed guy who's spouting off obscenities and saying, "We will not put up with that." And then finally, as you might expect, honor God's name with the way that you live. If you call yourself a believer, me too, live like one. If you call yourself a Christian, don't drag Christ's name through the mud with inappropriate actions or inappropriate attitudes that we display sometimes. Our walk needs to match our talk. It's as simple as that, which is not really simple, is it? Oh boy. Honor God. Honor Christ with your life. Let's commit ourselves, you and I, to doing that together. Because his is the name that is above all names. The third commandment. Let's pray to God. Thank you, Lord God, for being with us in this hour this morning. Thank you for the joy of celebrating new life and acknowledging your claims on our lives. And now, Lord God, I pray that as we continue to let this message speak to us as we leave this place, as we go to our homes and think about it in the course of the coming days, that you would help us to focus on bringing honor to you and drawing people to you. So, Lord, even us, use even us. In Jesus' name, amen.